The biggest news story in the corporate media continues to be the tragic events in Syria. Here, Rupert Murdoch's Sky News avowedly seems to support Al-Qaeda in Syria. Watch Alex Rossi's report.
They're prepared to die trying, and that is an advantage over the government's massing troops. Not much of one, but an advantage nonetheless.
There you see the Al-Qaeda logo, and there is Rossi proudly talking about his freedom fighters.
And that is the plan. The Free Syrian Army says that it is now in the stages, perhaps the early stages, of an actual proper assault on Aleppo.
Maybe the real inquiry into Rupert Murdoch's media empire should be his alliance with the perpetrators of 9/11. Well, we brought back Amar Waqaf from the UK Syrian Social Club to Double Standards to give us his take on what most Western journalists characterize as a battle to liberate Syria from President Assad's government. Well, with me is Amar Waqaf from the Syrian Social Club yet again, but we have to bring you back, Amar, because the mainstream news is leading on Syria night and day. Just give us some updates on what you're hearing from Syria that maybe those of us who watch mainstream media wouldn't appreciate.
Well, the news we're hearing now from Aleppo are a little bit confusing, but in Damascus, it seems that the Syrian army has regained control over most of the areas. If you talk to people in Damascus, they would tell you that they can go up and do shopping again and go back to their business. Slowly but surely, obviously in the hot areas or infected areas, people are starting even to go back to their houses. And that is a welcomed sign. So, you know, hopefully people of Damascus will feel a bit safer in the coming few days.
Well, definitely detected the disappointment of journalists on seeing Damascus and particularly some suburbs which were the location of fighting going back to normal. But of course, one bigger bit of news that seemed to trump everything, and the UN Secretary General himself came out saying, I'm very concerned, was your country's weapons of mass destruction.
Well, Syria have developed, apparently, I mean, there are still no confirmed reports.
Well, he admitted it, Jihad Magdisi, and I know.
He sort of admitted it, yes. But in a sense, this was a deterrence towards Israel possessing, which is the main enemy of Syria, possessing nuclear weapons. So the Syrians thought justified to develop a sort of deterrence against that. It started about a month ago, really. They were talking that, the Syrian regime or the Syrian government is falling apart, and people are slightly concerned that these weapons might fall into the wrong hands. The Syrian government issued a statement, and in this statement, I think it sent three clear messages. First of all, these are not about to fall into the wrong hands. These are very much secured by the army, and they were very well kept.
Secured by the army, but yeah. The army is under attack. If we go through, I know you're going to make three other points.
But indeed, but what the spokesperson yesterday tried to say was that these are sort of top priority. We're not going to, these are not a civilian area. These are well-protected areas. And indeed, if you think about the entire conflict for 18 months now, almost, none of the strategic capability of the Syrian army were under attack. We're talking about airports, missile command, so on and so forth.
Which is why conservative elements in the media all say, oh, you see, this is like Libya, this is like Iraq. We heard all this stuff about a big army. When it comes down to it, there's nothing left when the brave NATO troops with, in this case, Al-Qaeda elements, storm Damascus.
The Syrian government is not going to use, or is not about to use, nor will it use it in the future against its own people. President Assad is not Saddam Hussein, and the Syrian army is not the Israeli or American army to use like phosphor against Gaza or Fallujah. And the third most important one, in my opinion, is that if you want to come and get those weapons, you're not going to get them for cheap. You have to pay a certain cost. And that is what enraged everybody. So the analogy here is that there is a sort of shift in the international communities dealing with Syria. They realize that it's not going to be easy to force a sort of resolution in the Security Council to go into Syria to protect the Syrian people, because someone else is saying, no, if you go in, you're going to cause even more deaths, just like what we've seen in Libya. However, now there is this talk about the WMD in order to justify for certain countries to go outside the Security Council to protect their own people. No, no, we are concerned. But what the Syrian to tell the international community is going to cost you even more. So if you're playing on the concerns of your population, of these weapons going into the wrong hands, if you attack us, then probably your people are going to feel the heat. Probably we're not going to...
Yeah, what sort of heat? I thought the Jihad's comments were interesting. Jihad Makhlisi, the spokesperson, because, of course, he said they're not there to be used, the WMD, against Syrian people, but they will be used against aggressors against Syria, the Syrian nation.
Yes.
And then he went on, like he has many times before, explained that there are outside forces that are behind quite a lot of the actions against the Assad government. The implication being,
yes,
any moment now, the Assad government can attack presumably Qatar and quite a few other nations with chemical weapons.
Well, the justification is already there, not because the Syrian government considers, but because these sort of countries have publicly pledged support for armed resistance or armed rebellion in Syria. So in a sense, they are responsible directly for funding and sending weapons and ultimately for shedding a lot of Syrian blood.
Well, Britain is one of them. I mean, I heard only the other day a prominent reporter for a mainstream tabloid newspaper here saying, off the record, he was assured that there are British special forces aiding the, be the Islamists or other elements of the Syrian Free Army. Mm-hmm. That means Britain is an enemy of Syria. We could have a chemical attack here from Damascus.
I don't think the Syrian government would be interested in sending WMD to cities or urban populations to kill people.
It's laughable, I agree. But
probably the Syrian government might decide to do is that, well, if you're starving us, then probably we might starving you. You know, be starving you. You know, we could send our weapons to those countries. For example, bomb the oil production.
Why would the rise of a sort of de facto Taliban state in Syria help the United States?
Well, if you destabilize the any place in the world, any geopolitical, then that's casus belli, in a sense, or a reason for you to intervene all the time and have all your forces there to secure whatever needs to be secured. But in a sense, those countries, America, Britain, Europe, are very much worried that they are falling under debt, heavy debt, and they need to counter the balance of the high production power and high financial power and high resource control of the BRICS countries. So they are very much desperate about this huge world dominance game that is happening and centered now in Syria. The Israelis, they would want this thing for a completely different reason. They want to finalize once and for all, get rid once and for all of the Palestinians' right of return.
Thank you very much. Obviously, the thoughts of everyone certainly on this team go out to the Syrian people and all the people back at home.
It's
Thank
tough.
You very much.
Thank you very much for having me today.